just remain standing, if you could turn to the second book of Corinthians tonight, chapter 3, and just want to share a few thoughts with us here tonight. And it's Paul writing to the Corinthian church. And you know, I could read the whole chapter, but I don't want to do that. We will we'll read down the first 6 verses of chapter 3, 2 Corinthians chapter 3, in the first 6 verses. Paul says, "Do we begin again to commend ourselves, or need we, as some others, epistles of commendation to you, or letters of commendation from you?" Says, "You are epistles written in our hearts, known and read of all men. For as much as ye are manifestly declared to be the epistle of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not in tables of stone, but in fleshly tables of the heart, and such trust have we through Christ to Godward. Not that our sufficiency is of ourselves, to think anything of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God, who also hath made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the latter, but of the Spirit. For the latter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life." Now, I could go on, but I'm going to end the reading there just on my last. Again, the Lord to bless his word to us tonight. Our Father, we thank you again for your word, Lord. We thank you for the songs we've been singing. We pray, Holy Spirit, you'll come in this room. We pray, Lord, you'll come and minister to your people and speak to us again. And Lord, we just pray, Lord, that you would comfort us with your word tonight, Lord, and you would reassure us, Lord, and that you would be our portion tonight, Lord, because we look to you and we say, "Vain is the help of man, O Lord, without you we can do nothing." We would just ask you, Lord, to bless these words tonight, Lord. Your word will not, we said, your word will not return unto you void, but it will prosper in the thing whereto you do send it. In Jesus' name, amen. You have your seats tonight, praise the Lord. And I have spoken before from this portion of Scripture quite a while ago, and I don't know if I was here when I tried to speak from it, but I have spoken from this portion of Scripture before, and the text I used was simply that you are manifestly declared to be the epistle of Christ. Now, the Apostle Paul is writing to the Corinthians, we know that. And in this particular chapter he says, "Do we begin again to commend ourselves?" In other words, do I have to tell you what I am? Do I have to sit down and write you out a letter? Do I have to sit down and write you out an epistle? Do I have to sit down and make an affidavit? How many people in here wouldn't maybe know what an affidavit is, and I hardly know myself, but an affidavit is a statement that you give to a solicitor and it's legally binding. It can't be changed unless you give that permission to change it. And usually people will do that when they're going to make a will or on a testament. A will and a testament, your last will and testament. And sometimes it can be what is called an affidavit of the late so-and-so. This was his wish, or this was her wishes, and we were trying to carry them out. But Paul the Apostle is saying here, do I need to sit down and write you a letter to commend ourselves, or a letter of commendation? And he says, or need we as some others? You see, now, even in North Northern Ireland, we have fellowships We have churches here who do use this system, and if they're going to visit somewhere strange, they'll take a letter of commendation with them, and they'll hand the letter in at the door. And when you hand the letter in at the door, you're scrutinized, or you're vetted, or maybe a better term would be to say you're MOT'd, to see if you're eligible to sit at the Lord's table and to break bread, or to fellowship with Christ, or to fellowship with God's people. Now, this did happen, I believe this happened in the scriptures, but not to get off the track or go away around the half of the world and then come back. There was a story told, and it was a true story, about a Christian woman went on holidays once, and she went to a certain church, and when she was at the door, she was asked, had she got her letter of commendation, I can hardly get my tongue around it, and I've started off to tell it wrong. First of all, it was a minister went to a fellowship. A minister, a pastor went to a fellowship, and when he went through the door, they stopped him and they said, "Have you got your letter of commendation?" And he says, "No, I don't." And they says, "Well, I'm sorry, we're going to have to turn you away. You can't break bread with us. You can come in and sit at the back." You know, when you get saved, you can sit anywhere in the house of God. And, you know, I have a habit of sitting at the front myself. But because you sit at the front doesn't make you more spiritual than somebody that sits at the back. God's not interested if you're sitting at the back or at the front. He's interested that you're in the meeting. And you've come to meet with him. But anyway, this man was told, and he was a minister for years, and God used him, I believe. And he was told, "I'm sorry, you'll not be able to break bread with us. You'll have to sit at the back because you haven't got your letter of commendation. So he said, "Excuse me, but I'd rather not go into the service if I'm not allowed to participate." And he says, "I'm sorry, but I'll leave. So he turns and he walks out of that meeting, and he's walking down the road not far from the church, and he meets this woman coming to the same meeting. He meets another woman who is a stranger to him, and they're both strangers, and she's a stranger and she's on holidays. And he says, "Excuse me, lady, are you going to that church?" And she says, "Yes, I'm on holidays here, and I'm going to go in and have fellowship if I can." And he says, "Well, do you have your letter of commendation?" And she says, No, I don't have a letter." And he says, "Well, would you happen to have a notepad on you and a pen?" So she opens up her handbag, and of course she had. And he says, "Well, just give it to me and I'll write you one now." So he writes her a note. And she goes in and she says, "There's my note. There's my commendation. I saw Red Sister take a seat at the front, and you can break bread." You see, what's wrong today? People who are put in a position of authority does not have any discerning. And you see the way that wee piece of paper got her through. Now, I don't know if it would work at the party gates. But it works down here sometimes. And this is what Paul said. He said, "Do I need to do that? Do I need to do that?" But then he goes on to say something else in verse 2. He says, "Ye are our epistles, written in our hearts, known and read by all men." He says, "You are. You are the epistle. You are, what will I write down? Sure, you're the epistle." The people that he had preached to, the people that he had ministered to, the people that he had shared the gospel with, the people who he had presented Christ to, then they became his epistles. And he says, "Ye are our epistles." He says, "You speaks louder than a note. You see, a group of people who follows the Lord, that speaks louder than a letter of commendation. Because anybody could write the letter. And you can write good things on the letter, can't you? Somebody said one time, the pen is mightier than the sword. Somebody said one time, the paper refuses nothing. But Paul said, ye are our epistles. And he doesn't only say that there are epistles, but he says, it's written in our hearts. So it was not only, Paul says, it's already in his heart. It's written in there. It's written in the minister's heart who ministered Christ to them. And he said, ye are our epistles, and as regards writing, it's written in my heart. Something inside his heart. Now, I'll be touching that in a wee moment here, but listen. Then he goes on to say what we all know. He says, known and read of all men. See, now somebody said, if you become a Christian and you haven't been a Christian very long, and then someday you maybe do something that you shouldn't do, or maybe you say something that you shouldn't say, and somebody else is there and they don't call themselves a Christian, but then not be too long of telling you what you can do and what you can't do. Isn't that right? Then not be too long of saying to you, I thought you were a Christian, I didn't think a Christian would have done that. Or I thought you were a Christian, I didn't think a Christian would have said that. So we're known and read of all men. You know, the world is watching you. The world is watching me. The world is watching everybody that confesses Christ. I believe that. I believe the world knows it. The devil knows it. The world knows it when you become a Christian. And they start to watch you. And they watch every move you make. And Paul said that. He says, you're known. You're known. You're marked. Thank God we're marked tonight. But we're known and we're read of all men. Now, they know what you are. They know. They might let on they don't know, but they do know. Paul says they know it. Now, Paul goes on. He says something else here, and I believe it's very important. He says, for as much as ye are manifestly declared to be the epistle of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not in tables of stones, but in the fleshly tables of the heart. Now, you don't need me to tell you, but something that is manifested is an outward expression. Something that is manifested is plain to be seen. It's not hid. If something's manifested, it's opened. It's saw. It's declared. And you know, what Paul was really saying here was that in verse 3 he says, he's really saying that he's making a declaration of a manifestation of Christ in you. And that's what he said to these believers here. He said he was making a declaration of a manifestation of Christ in you. And he said, it's declared. Yes. So it's known. It's made known. You know, tonight, that mightn't excite you, but I tell you, I believe it does something to me. And you know, Paul said here, he said that these people was manifestly declared. Now there's a wee statement in here, and I want you to notice it. He said, for as much as ye are manifestly declared to be the epistle of Christ, ministered by us. That's the apostles. That's the ministry of the apostle Paul. He went to the Corinthian church, he went to the Corinthian believers, he wrote two letters to them, but he went among them, and he says, listen, yours are manifestly declared to be the epistle of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not in tables of stone, but in fleshly tables of the heart. Now, I want you to notice in this verse, what Paul ministered to the people was what came into the people.
Yes, amen.
Now that is simple, but that is so true.
Yes.
And Paul could say, ministered by us.
Yes.
Now he said, what was ministered? Christ was ministered. Now I've written down here, if we want people to have Christ, we need a minister Christ. Don't expect them to have Christ if you don't minister Christ. Let me say this also, I believe, if you want them to have the Holy Ghost, you have to minister the Holy Ghost. And if you want them to have the fruits of the Spirit, you have to minister the fruits of the Spirit. If you want them to have the gifts of the Spirit, you have to minister the gifts. Declared. There's no manifestly. It's manifested. You know what's on the inside will manifest on the outside. When you get the Holy Ghost inside you, he starts to manifest on the outside. Get Christ inside you, he starts to manifest on the outside. You know, Jesus said, out of the bonds of the heart, the mouth speaketh. You know, when people listen to you talk, it should sound, you should know who you should sound like. You should sound like Christ. Whenever people should listen, see your attitude, you know what your attitude should be like Christ.
Amen.
You know, I know that we have heard a lot of things and we know a lot of things maybe tonight that we didn't used to know, but you know, when I read this Bible, I can find reference after reference where you are to be like Christ. You are to be like Christ. Now I know lots of people say we're small gods and we want to be like God. No, I don't want to. God's an object of worship. But Christ became, he humbled himself and took on him the form of a man, became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. And Paul the Apostle says, for me to live is Christ, to die is to gain.
Amen.
And he said, I would to God that I was cut off, that Israel might be saved. He says, my heart has a continual burden for Israel. And he said he was in continually sorrow not a burden. This man had a vision.
Yes.
But he said, ye are the epistle. You're the epistle. What does that mean? That means if somebody works for you, if somebody's with you in your work, they ought to see Christ when they see you. When they see you, they ought to see God. They ought to see the love. They ought to see the faith. They ought to see the virtue. They ought to see the power. Oh, God, help us to have the fire. Oh, hallelujah. You know, Paul didn't say, boys, I don't know for sure whether you are or not. He said, you're manifestly declared. You know, I think it's a silly thing, but I think about, we still do paperwork with keeping animals, but now there's more computers and you can go on the laptop or you can go on your mobile phone if you're good and you can fill in a declaration. It's called a declaration. And you fill in a declaration about that animal. And when the animal's born, you give it a number, an ear number. And when it's born into a family, it's born into a herd. So it has a herd number first of all, and then it has a number in the herd. And then you fill that out. You fill out the declaration and you put down the male or female, and you put down the date of birth, and you put down the herd number, and then you put down the number in the herd, the ear number, the bar, and all this business and the code even. You write this all down or you print it all out on the laptop, and it's the date of birth, and then there's the mother, the dam, and the sir, the father of the animal. And you write that all down, and then you write the date up down the bottom, and you sign your name, and that's a declaration. That's a declaration for cattle. Now, it's only, but I tell you, God wrote your name. You know who signed it? Jesus signed it with his own blood at a place called Calvary. And Paul said here that you're the epistle. You are the epistle. I don't need to write one. You are. He says you're our epistles written in our hearts. And he said there's something in your heart. And it's the Holy Ghost. And you know, he says, for as much as ye are manifestly declared. So do you see, whenever I would do that there for just a calf, and I know it's a natural thing, but it's just a calf, and I sign my name there, then I'm liable. I'm committed. If I have told lies, I'll be guilty. But hey, it's not, you don't tell lies if it's your own cattle. You want the thing done right, you want the register. And then there's all the stuff now because of BSE, there's traceability in the cattle. And whenever I do an ear tag now, actually what happens when you put the tag in the calf's ear, it takes a sample of the calf, takes a part of the ear out, and I have to send that away to a lab to get it tested to see if the animal has got BVD. I think that's the right words or letters. And if it comes back positive, that animal has to be killed. It has to be put down. But apart from that, when I do that, it's like the DNA of the animal. And sometimes down the line, if that animal loses its ear tag, or if I wanted to change its age, if I wanted to make it younger, I could take that ear tag out and put in a new one. But when that animal would go to the factory, they could take the DNA and they could say, no, John has changed the ear tag and we're not paying him because he has done a fraud. So that's built into the system now that you can't do that, that you can't change the ear tags on cattle because you'd be found out because of the DNA. You know, if the devil could change our DNA, he would do it. But he can't do it. We're sealed, aren't we? We're sealed. You see, everything that Sands is, maybe some of the things that Sands is learning today and putting into practice today, God had them first.
Amen.
The things that are good, I believe God had them first. And he still has them.
Yes.
After this is all over.
Amen.
Isn't that right? Praise the Lord. But I want to encourage you tonight. You see, he said you're manifestly declared to be the epistle of Christ. And he said, ministered by us. Paul was responsible, I believe, for what he preached. And what he preached, he believed what he preached. And I believe he saw the fruits of what he preached. And what he had in his fellowship was what he preached. I believe that with all my heart. And then he goes on to say about, he says, not written with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God. Not in tables of stone, but in fleshly tables of the heart. And I believe that represents the Word of God coming into our heart. And he goes on in verse 4 and he says, and such trust have we through Christ to Godward. Godward, or towards God. You know, we know tonight that there's only one way to approach God, and that's through the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank God tonight there's only one God, and there's one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. And he goes on, verses 5 and 6, he says, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God. You know, I believe Paul recognized that he was only a man. I believe he recognized that he didn't have this ability of himself. And you know, none of us has any ability of our own. It's God, isn't it? It's the Lord. And he said, our sufficiency is of God. He says, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything of ourselves. You know, sometimes, well, I'm not saying anybody here does that, but you know, if we start to think we are it, if we start to think, oh, I'm me and who's like me, that's the worst thing. We never want to do that. Yeah. You know, pride comes before a fall. Yeah. Don't want to, we're on the bed saying, oh, why, we're just, there's nobody like us, we're just perfect, we're just the bee's knees. No, Paul says, not that we're anything of ourselves. He said one time, he said, what came the word of the Lord out from you, or came it unto you only? That's what he said. He said, did this word come out from you, or did it come unto you only? He says, don't let a man be puffed up. And I heard an old preacher one time, he was preaching a sermon, and a young man was going to a Bible college. And he said to the young man, and he said, it applied to everybody in here. He says, I want to give you a bit of advice. He says, there's a couple of things that I want to tell you to do. And he says, if you do it, he says, you'll have success. And he says, it's very simple. He says, if you keep low and don't blow, you'll have plenty of success. So what he was saying was, don't put yourself way up somewhere in a pinnacle. Keep low. Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord will lift you up. Isn't that right? And somebody said, Brother Branham said it, I don't know exactly where, but he said the way up was down. Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, James said, and he shall lift you up. It's God, he's our sufficiency tonight. I'm glad that he's our sufficiency. Because when he is our sufficiency, then we're depending on him. And when we're depending on him, it's not in the hands of man, it's in the hands of God. Praise God, he can do something with us when we yield to him. Isn't that right? When we hand over to him, when we say, look, here's the controls. Like somebody said about the man who went up in the airplane, a glider, or may have been a glider, but he was learning to fly, and the pilot, or the experienced teacher or pilot who was there, says, tell him, if you get into difficulty and you think you can't handle it, he says, just let go of the controls and I'll take over. And the story goes that the man was bringing the plane in, and he got into difficulty, and he says, it's not, I'm going to crash, it's not going to work. And the instructor says to him, just let go and I'll take over. And he let go of the handles and the experienced pilot took over and the plane landed safely. And you know, so be us with Christ. Now, I don't want to take up much time. I've took up a lot of your time tonight. And verse 6. All these verses is great verses. Verse 6. Paul has told us that our sufficiency is of God. And it says, we don't think anything of ourselves. We're nothing of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God. And verse 6 he said, who also hath made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the latter, but of the Spirit. For the latter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. So, I believe Paul was a man that depended on the Holy Spirit. I believe he was a man who confessed and was an able minister of the New Testament. And thank God tonight for the New Testament. Thank God tonight for the gospel. And you know, whenever Paul come preaching, that this New Testament wasn't written. But he talked about it. And he spoke about it. And he said he was an able minister of the New Testament. And what was the New Testament? The New Testament was that Christ came into the world to seek and to save that which was lost. The New Testament was that Christ went to the cross and shed his blood. The New Testament was that Christ paid the price for sin once and for all, that he died and that he rose again the third day according to the scripture, and he's seated at the right hand of God, and he ever lives to make intercession for you and me according to the will of God. That's the New Testament. The New Testament is that he said when he that ascended also descended. Amen. And he went into the lower parts of the earth, and he had a Pentecostal revival, I believe, when he was down there, and he preached the gospel to the souls that was in prison. And the New Testament is that he rose again the third day, and he met the disciples, and he breathed on them, and he said, receive ye the Holy Ghost. And he said, tarry ye in Jerusalem until ye be endured with power from on high. And the Bible tells me that they went in there, and they went in an upper room, and 50 days later, when the Holy Ghost came, it came as a sound of a rushing mighty wind, and it sat upon each of one of them, and every man heard somebody speaking in unknown tongues as the Spirit gave them utterances. And I believe that same Holy Ghost can come on you tonight and can come into your life, and I believe you'll still speak with tongues, and you'll prophesy, and you'll be able to cast out devils, and if you drink any deadly thing, he'll not hurt you. If the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you, he'll also quicken your mortal body. I believe that the Apostle Paul preached Jesus Christ and him crucified. I believe he preached the second coming. He preached the death and resurrection. He preached the baptism of the Holy Ghost. He preached the gift of the Holy Spirit. He preached the anointing.
Yes, amen.
I believe that. I believe it with all my heart. If I didn't believe it tonight, I wouldn't say it. I wouldn't be here. I wouldn't be standing with this book open. But there's something in my heart tonight that makes me say, amen. This is God's word. This is true. There's something in my heart tonight that says Jesus Christ will come again. And he's coming soon.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Said, he was an able minister of the New Testament. What did it mean? What did the New Testament mean? It means the sacrifice was paid. The sacrifice or the Day of Atonement. It means the blood The Lord said to Moses, when I see the blood, I'll pass over you. It means that Christ became our Passover. It means that whenever we received him, we passed from death unto life. Paul could say, it's no longer I that liveth, but Christ that liveth in me. And I want to say tonight, Christ doesn't need me, or he doesn't need you to live, but he's alive. But it's us that needs him to live. And Jesus said, the words that I speak unto you, they're spirit and they're life. And I believe tonight that the life is in the word, but I also believe the same word will bring the Holy Ghost on you and in you and through you. I believe that tonight. Hallelujah. See, the latter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. Thank God tonight we have something in our heart. See, when you get something in your heart, medical science can't remove it. There's no devil can remove it. There's no devil can take it out of your heart. What does Paul say to the Romans? He says, for with the heart man believeth unto salvation, and with the mouth confession is made. Yes. Said, say not. He said, the word is nigh thee, even in thy heart and in thy mouth. That is the word of faith which we preach. You don't have to go up to bring them down or down to bring them up, but he said, the word is nigh you, even in your heart. You know, tonight he's in your heart. Thank God he's in your heart. It's not only in your heart, but you're manifestly declared to be the epistle of Christ. Praise the Lord. You know, I believe when people see you walking down the street, they say you're a Christian. You know what else? What I'm going to say? See, if they don't, they ought to. For they ought to see Christ. Hallelujah. You know, we used to sing a wee chorus. Says, to be like Jesus, to be like Jesus, all I ask is to be like him. All through life's journey, from earth to glory, all I ask is to be like him. You know, we used to sing a wee chorus also. I just heard it the other day, somebody else was singing it. I remember we used to sing this wee chorus all the time, and it said, oh, to be his hand extended, reaching out to the oppressed. Let me touch him so that others may know and be blessed. I believe God wants to make you a blessing. I believe you already are a blessing. But I believe he wants to make you more of a blessing. I believe he wants to make this fellowship a blessing. He wants to make us more of a blessing. You know, I'm going to just come to a close here. It's trouble for me to see the watch. It's 25 till with my watch, Gary, I think it is. So, you know, maybe I'll just pray, and then we're going to wait on the Lord for a while tonight. We usually do that. You know that we usually wait on the Lord. And I want you just to pray. I want you just to ask the Lord what's on your heart tonight. But you know, I didn't come here tonight to tell you something that you didn't already know. I believe you know that. But I just want to encourage you, because there is something in your heart. And Paul had faith in the people that he ministered to, and he said, you are our epistle. You are the epistle. You are the epistle. When the world looks at you, they've got to see Christ. And then he didn't only say that, he said, ministered by us. So what he gave the people was what he had. And you know, it might sound crude, but you see, in livestock and farming, what you feed the animal is what you will have. If you feed them on a wheat mixture, you'll have a wheat animal. You'll have a wheat product. But if you feed them on something strong, you'll have something stronger. Protein, strength, muscle, resistance. But thank God tonight, we're not of ourselves, but we can depend on him. Amen? He's our sufficiency. Praise the Lord. Now I'm just going to go and pray, because it's The time's going by, and I want you just to come and feel free tonight to ask the Lord and to call upon his name. Praise the Lord.